Okay, welcome everyone for the weekly English medium discussion soon after the Sinhala medium discussion. And as many of you know, we have the appointed Sutta Nipata, but the Sutta we have taken is almost finished. But either to go to the next Sutta or to proceed with the same thing, I wish to open the discussion for anyone to come out with any suggestion or interview reports or any criticisms. After a few minutes, after that item, I will hand over to Venerable Buddharakkhita. Sorry. Yes, Buddharakkhita. I always confuse these two names. But don't look at very in a sharp mind, but just be smiling. And before handing over, if anyone is having impromptu questions or reports, I would like to invite.
Sarai Bhante. We have one report for today's session, Bhante.
Good.
Okay. Walking meditation, 30 minutes. As Bhante's instructions last week, I wanted to try different surfaces and to see which ones I liked most. I started with Lanupadura. When I started, I kept scratching my feet and it was hard on the Lanupadura. So my feet would spill off onto the wooden floor every so often. After some time, I decided to keep one foot on the Lanupadura and the other foot on the wooden floor. This meant that in one direction, my right foot was on Lanupadura and in the other direction, the left foot was on it. This was fun. I noted that the foot which touched the Lanupadura landed a little earlier than my foot which touched the floor as it was slightly raised from the ground. Also, when I turned at the end, my foot which was on the Padura went on the wooden floor and it felt weird. I noted that I liked the wooden floor as it was softer and less hurting. But I noted that the Padura was better for my concentration. Because it was rough, my mind was always with the foot when I touched the Padura. I also noted that the front part of the foot touched the Padura first and the back part touched the wooden floor first. Sitting meditation, 30 minutes. I sat down soon after walking. My primary object is breath. I usually feel it near the nostrils, but from time to time. I feel it on the tummy too. At the start, I could feel the breath very well around the nose. But when my Amma disturbed me, she said, "You are fiddling with your fingers." It made me lose my concentration. I felt quite restless after that and wanted to check how much time was left. But towards the end, again, for a few minutes, it could be there for 4 minutes. The mind was with the breath and I felt really still. During that time, the in-breath felt fresh and cold. The out-breath felt warm around the nose. I liked the in-breath more than the out-breath as it felt nicer than the out-breath. Hirwan Saranai. Thank you, Bhante. Dinuka decades, 11 years. End of the report, Bhante.
Yeah. The 11 years is the most significant thing in the report. And when you are touching different surfaces, you can understand how much my leg is sensitive. We are called sensors. Palms and the soles are the most sensitive things. And the tips of the toes and the fingers are the brain. Reflexology says your brain means tip of the 10 fingers and the tip of the 10 toes. They are very sensitive. So when you are keeping the leg on the Lanupadura, that means square mat, and the flat land, sandy land, and the lawn, you can feel it. And more the surface is rougher, it is more healthier. That is being killed by footwears. This completely cut off you from the ground. You cannot get earth. Early people, they were just walking. And then you are in the watery surface, you are the rocky surface, you are in the sandy surface, you are blah. And now civilized people made the flat land, that's the worst thing. In Burmese, it is called Bilamia. Bilamia means British soil, worst. And drinks with the preservatives, also called foreign drinks. They are all carcinogenic. You have to eat mangoes in the mango season, not in the preserved with the bottles. And you eat sesame in the harvesting time only, not year on. Because it is very climatic. So these are the things. So this 11 years old, this young guy, young girl, or Manda, I don't know, is a girl or boy, Niranja?
Banti, boy.
I doubt, huh? But anyway.
Dinuka.
Dinuka, yes. And how nice you are touching and you are not taking the surfaces. You see the sensitivity of your leg. The tentacles. Putting the hand, putting the leg. And imagine if you are sensitive about your hand when you are touching a knife, when you are touching a harrow, when you are touching any other thing, you can feel it. The smoothness, roughness, heat, cold, and the softness, hardness. They are not meditation. They are birthrights. But if you can explain it one by one, your language increases, communication increases, and another person can feel. That's what we call interview reports. So, you have done 30 minutes of walking meditation, I would invite you to do it in 35 minutes and then 40 minutes. Sitting also, whether you are sitting in a cushion or sitting on a chair or sitting on the hard ground, you can feel which one is more comfortable. Start with the comfort and then go to the discomfort. That's the point. You can see three characteristics. Anicca dukkha anatta. Comfort zone is not for anicca dukkha anatta. It is to facilitate meditation. With the facilitated meditation, with the concentration and the mindfulness, you see uncomfortability from the systematic to the asystematic system. Linear system to the matrix system. And explainable formulas to unexplainable. But of course, 11 years is not so advanced age. But you are preparing your mind uncertainty, unexpected, unpredictable situation. That is we call prepared mind. This is what we prepare in the Girl Guides and the Boy Scouts. Be ready. Be prepared. Appamada in Buddha's teaching and Sir Baden-Powell says, be prepared. So therefore, these young guys are more prepared than us. The report indicates how happily they are talking about the unsuccessful situation, unpredictable situation, unexpected situation, still within the meditative vocabulary. Elderly people, so stereotyped. They go to meditation with the good and bad pre-decided. Go with premeditated ideas, they are so worried because all the time disappointed. But they go with wrong mindset. So this is education reform. It always says, what is your mindset? That must be changed. Parents are not happy. Teachers are not happy putting everything into the classrooms. 35 children, 35 minutes. It's a curse. Instead you go climbing trees and rocks and kind of thing. And the children, they start leading. And teachers are kindly coming and facilitating it. Exactly what we do in this discussion also. So thank you. And if there are no any other comments, we are going to go to the main part of the discussion.
Yes, Pante, there's no other report.
Good. Venerable Buddharakita.
Yeah, I just had a comment on the walking meditation again of our young practitioner. And that's just one idea is that you're learning to walk, do walking meditation. So this is what we call practicing. But actually, you can carry the same investigation and mindset into any time you're walking. I mean, you don't have to walk slowly or in an artificial way. But when you're when you're having to walk or go somewhere, going to your bedroom, coming back, going in, going out, going to school, walking back, you can every now and again just check in and inquire into walking, carrying that practice, formal practice of meditation into daily life. And in that way, the focus is not on the destination, but on the journey. And that way you walk through the entire of life and you learn a habit to always be mindful of your walking and steps and movement. And this becomes a great blessing and a benefit. Just even this morning, I noticed somebody, they have an injured foot, and they were moving too quick. And I was wondering, they didn't notice that their leg is not able to walk so fast at the moment, you know, because they're not being mindful walking. So in this way, like if you have that habit of mindfulness, you can always bring it to bear throughout your life, and then you'll find many blessings. Like that, for instance, that you adjust if your foot is not if your foot is injured, or you adjust if the ground is rough and you don't tend to trip. And in this way, your life becomes easier, and many difficulties you don't encounter because of that mindfulness is there to protect you and to bring your best game to the game of life itself. So that's just some ideas about this walking, and to be receiving instruction and to be acting on that instruction at 11 years is a wonderful thing, because you can have a very easy life as a result of this kind of benefit and teaching and practice.
So that is some new ways of the looking at the same thing. So what I mentioned was whether you understand the choir mat, lawn, sand bed or flat, you understand your leg and its sensitivity to see different surfaces could be measured, could be felt immediately. It is not meditation, it's an endowment, it's a birthright. By changing different surfaces, you see our leg is versatile for any surface. That's an endowment, that's a kind of a birthright. So if you are going to go only the smooth surfaces, flat surfaces, you are paralyzed. Your brain become paralyzed. It never open. So by changing the surfaces, the substrata, you learn the sensitivity. That means not the strike element. You see the base element. Base element is the sensitivity of your leg. Strike element is the choir mat, flat surface, lawn, sand ground. So how many times, so how many efforts you have to understand from changing to the strike element to base element. I'll give you one example whereby Upanishad is master. He says, we see yellow color, brown color, square shape, triangular shape. These are all strike element. Base element is your sensitivity of your ear, eye. That's the, how do you call the screen behind?
Bare perception.
But the eye, that part of the screen is called Drushti Pratanya in singular, the screen. Everything is fall upon the screen. Whatever the outside thing is,
field of consciousness.
It's a material part. The screen behind the eye, behind the lens. Outside part is the strike element. This is the base element. That is what becoming an electromagnetic message to go to the brain. The screen.
Sense object and sense
base. Yeah, that's a common. But the eye has its own sensitivity for the light and the shapes and the this thing that I.
The retina.
Retina. If that is damaged, whatever the thing happen, it don't happen. So this is simple physics. This is simple anatomy, and the eye, the sound, and the eye eardrum. Whatever the sound coming, it's become the strike element, base element is eardrum. So Venerable Jnanananda says, please look at your retina. Please listen to the eardrum. There's a special sound. There's a special sensitivity. You are not worried about the external thing. Worry about, even with the closed eyes, the retina. It is having some kind of a sensitivity. You are not dead. You are not unconscious. You are not sleeping. And the mutha means smell, taste and the touch. And this mind. Only four. Eye, ear, mutha and the mind. Ditte dittamattam bhavishati means you are aware of the retina, not the external thing coming and dancing on the screen. You are aware about the eardrum, not the eastern music, western music, jazz music. And you are conscious about the mutha, not the smell, taste, touch. And you are worried about the mind, not about the philosophies. So that is a very nice bandhu. So, strike element, base element, ignition element. Dwara, aramana, tadupanna. So I ask translator, I ask Sayadu, when you are explaining. One day, Sayadu told the Pali terms. Dwara, aramana, tadupanna. Dwara means the senses. Aramana means the what is the striking. Tadupanna means what is arising then and there. Eye consciousness, ear consciousness. So it is such a, it is such an impromptu, electric understanding. If you one split second delayed, you are in a dream world. When and where it is happening, you are the Buddha. Because then you become the creator God. You are the one creating the world. Out of the ear, sound and all that. This is what conscious quantum physics is telling. Unless your consciousness interacts, energy will not collapse into matter. Energy collapses into matter once the consciousness interacted. That's a Schrodinger statement. And that is almost going back with the Buddha. Till the thing come and strike your eye, if the eye is living, when they are come together, avenued, then only the eye consciousness arises. There is no prepared eye consciousness. Consciousness become eye consciousness, it is so electric. So this young practitioner says how the koya mat is touching, how the sand flow is touching, then you can understand the base element. The sensitivity of your leg, just like the eye sensitivity, ear sensitivity, they are very specific. Bloody shit, everything is the same. All the five, you can handle from here, then eye, ear, mutha, and all the kind of thing. So that is well explained by Venerable Jnanananda in the Vidatsun Upadesh. I translated that into Burmese, and he himself translated it into English, and he says, when you are noting the external object, that means strike element, this is the way of noting. When you are noting the base element, these are the terms you are using. When you are noting, very sharp, very difficult, whenever the consciousness arises, very difficult to note, then you are enlightened.
But what was very interesting in this report this morning was how when his mother interfered and said, you're fiddling with your fingers, and then he felt annoyed and he couldn't settle down his mind again. This is the mind base, and then mind consciousness arising. I know that I'm feeling agitated, and the hearing base was hearing the mother and hearing the mother speaking, and then that becomes ear consciousness. I heard what she said. Then the feeling consciousness, chitta upasana, meaning I am aware that I am feeling annoyed. And then it is the mind, the consciousness becomes restlessness or agitated. So this is understanding, on the one hand, the rupa element, meaning the sound. And then there's the mind element, the thoughts, the thinking, the feeling, the agitation. And both are like two different aspects of reality of the present moment. There's the physical reality, and then there's the mental reality. And there's the physical action, and there's the mental action. There's the physical base, like hearing and paying attention. That's the mental aspect. And then there's the thoughts and feelings and Vedana and Chittanupasana, all these other processes. And it's very interesting these days to hear people philosophically discuss consciousness. And some people say there is no consciousness. Some people say that we don't understand consciousness. But here you have the opportunity to investigate and understand and be with consciousness all of your life, and be informed and aware of consciousness and aware of its properties, aware of its dynamic, and learning from it. So there's a physical journey, as I mentioned earlier on, and then there's a mental journey. So when you're walking, that's a physical journey. And but the mind being aware of that walking and aware of the sensations and feelings, like there's the physical feelings that it is rough, hard, smooth, but then there's the mental feelings like I enjoy the smoothness, I feel the roughness is coarse, it's not so pleasant. And all of these are mental, the mental journey. And separating and understanding clearly these different qualities of physical, mental, conscious, unconscious, and all of the aspects of the mind is a wonderful thing to know. And the more you know this, the more manageability you have over these different aspects of your life. And that's why life becomes a lot more easy and smooth.
And once you understand consciousness is a continuous thing, it is not an eternal thing, and there is no consciousness also wrong. Then and there arising consciousness, that consciousness never understand male, female. That consciousness never understand ordained and unordained. They never understand Buddhist and non-Buddhist. That is called universal consciousness given by the Carl Jung, because we all are the same at that moment. Otherwise, we are in sectarianism. You have seen that, I have not seen that. You are happy with that, I am not happy with that. So divorce and the marriage. But when you come to the consciousness, we are almost at Nibbana, we are almost the same. But still with that discrete knowledge or with the sectarianism, we can have a glimpse about this common consciousness, Buddha consciousness. It's called Buddha mind or big M mind. That mind, we are all the same. But we are always highlighting other unwanted dramatic things because we are Putujjana. Putujjana is private and confidential. Everything, you are American, you are Irish, I am Sri Lankan, Sinhalese Buddhist. So we are fighting, unwanted, trivial things, but we are human. When you are touching the hand or when you are touching the lawn, your touch and my touch is exactly the same. Mahasi Sayadaw says, ask them particular person to open the mouth and put the tongue out and put a grain of salt. Exactly the same. There's no soul, female taste, male taste, mature taste, first time taste, last time taste, salt. So Buddha says, mindfulness is just like a salt in your curry. Only little pinch, too much, very bad. Too less, no taste. So we have that. So we are promoting it, we are trying to articulate it, we try to put into words. Soon we put into words, it become blamable, but we are humble. We are taking this 11 years old practitioner and we are putting our ideas into that. So thank you for your giving the different perspective. I doubt whether others also will air their views.
I would like to say a few words on that, Pante. Going on the theme that you have mentioned, predictability and unexpectedness of the events that were happening. And when his mother disturbed him, the word he had used was concentration. He lost his concentration. So that can be used to maintain, again, mindfulness. Concentration is also not something that will be lasting forever. So you can be mindful of the fact that the concentration is also something that may be lost, and you can be aware of that, and then you can be happy about the fact that you are aware of the loss of concentration. And also you had mentioned that changing the surfaces were very enjoyable, and the word you had used was fun. And you can see how long that fun lasts and how the fun changes. Then you may have an opportunity just to continue your mindfulness, no matter what takes place within your physical and mental processes.
For 11 years, the practitioner will be very happy. Because very elderly people, very practicing monks are happy to share with his idea and try to give their opinion. So that's a great blessing. When we were at 11, we were nowhere. But still, today we are happy. Because of the mindfulness, now we can communicate with 11 years old. What the day we are going to talk with the 10 years old, 9 years old. The Western country, they say 6 years downward, difficult. 6 years is the some maturity happen in your brain. But Richard Davidson says, at the moment of parturation itself, the impact, the infliction happen, decide the killer. And from 2 years to 6 years, fast growing nervous system. And at the adolescence and the attending to her age, how do you call maturity, sexual maturity, these are the 3 points. But don't worry, even the old crocs can have a hope on mindfulness. There are some neuroplasticity, but these are the 3 points when he asked specifically in the Sarvodaya participation, that young girls ask you as a neurologist, what are the most critical points where we must take care about the adverse childhood experience? He's all parturation. Present day, 76% of the placenta and the parturating babies have kasippu, ice, in their blood. That means mother has accustomed to alcohol and this thing. So you see it. And then 2 to 6, mother's this thing is not there. Mother go on Middle East. Sometimes go with the father. So they are single parent. 3 presidents in America so far, all are single parent children. They are half boiled. They are half crazy. And they are going to rule the world. But in Sri Lanka also, in Colombo, hardly they get the embracing of the mother and father. So these are simple things. And one couple came, and father is about to go to Australia, and mother is going to have a job. Child is female, 6-4 years old. Some or the other it crossed, and she became a devil. Started creating so much of problems, and father came and told, I don't know. But anyway, I decided to go to Australia because of money. Mother decided to go to a job, and she came to know by a extrasensory perception, I am going to lose the parents. And she was like a... Kohomada kiyanne yakshani kiyala? David. Then I told, instead of be with that child, don't worry about your job. And she is a teacher. She is asking, but he is not doing consciously. No. She was a very beautiful girl. But now the behavior is completely topsy-turvy, and they are going to have the economic solidarity or economic sound system. But the child got the message. Because they are happening in the telepathic system. Adverse childhood experience is not given in the certificate. They are happening. So therefore, how can we think about, don't make children, they're first in the first place. That's the prevention is better than cure. If the children available, give it to Satyupasala. We will embrace them. We will give them, but we can't compensate mother's warmth. We can't compensate father. But the child, I predicted, I told the husband, is that hate against your mother? It is true, but don't tell it to the mother. The young girl is killing the mother. Such a lovely girl. You see what is happening? Parents are thinking in terms of economy and in the social level and money-wise and technological-wise. That girl came to know I am going to lose her. So this is the thing happening in the developed world. But among the aboriginals, among the monkeys, among the dogs, it never happens.
because they are instinctively connected to the children, the litter. I mean, they are dying and different issue. But mother is utterly with that. But human suicide is only for civilized people, not for aboriginals, not for animals. So these young practitioners, we must give the maximum embracing. We must give our opinion. Hey, darling, you are much lucky. You are 11 years old, you are still writing report. At that time, we were just barbaric. We are just aboriginal. We don't know how to talk because no one is listening. At the 11 years, only the scripts is being looked by the teachers, but parents are not listening to us because we are idiots. We are just bumpkins. But if you can read 4 years old, 3, 6 years old, 7 years old, they are so genuine. And we must keep it open. Don't close them telling you are a singleist Buddhist, you are a girl, you are a boy. No, you are a human. That's what I call birthright. Anyone wish to add something to that 11 years old practitioner? Niranja, umba mokada kiyan? Umba nikan kiyola tolkaya wage? Only like a trans mediator?
I realize, Bante, not to disturb.
But I realize I have to disturb you.
Not to disturb the children when they are doing
the you mothers are the culprits. You are the killers. You are the one making future programs. Grade 5 exam, grade 10 exam, or 11 and 13, you are cruise missiles or heat-sensitive missiles. Attacking children, but they feel it. When America is making the cruise missiles, Russia knows. And Russia says, you can't make cruise missiles. He says, shut up your mouth. You are making cruise missiles against us. We are also making. You are doing it secretly. I am going to kill you. No, you have done openly. You are asking me to not to do it. Exactly the same child and the mother. Nowadays, mothers are 100% answerable to the world chaotic situation because female rights. You are fighting for feminism. You are fighting for the Bhikkhuni order. You get it. What do you get? A package of questions. Package of questions. All the people supporting Bhikkhuni order in utter hell. All the females are fighting for the feminism. They lost their beauty. They lost their the attractiveness. They are mercenaries. They are called Amazons. Amazon big ladies. Am I correct? They are making use of the human males for as toys. So you, Niranja. I am accusing you in proxy, without taking to the court, because your husband is here. He is laughing. He's Niranja's husband. This is what he wanted to tell to Niranja. Instead, I am telling you. You says it is monk's craziness, because he is Western, so he is feminist. He is go for Bhikkhuni order. And he is always fighting with me. I don't care. I always give visa. I always keep him with me because I like fighting. You already lost. This is Buddha Rakitanta.
Apparently you shouldn't argue with fools because people might know the difference. That's why I keep quiet about this.
I'm not arguing with you because it's a long time.
It's been a long time since you were overseas for a Dhamma tour. I know you were recently in the United States, but maybe you can. We've had the blessing of having you here continuously for the last, I think, 3 years. When did you come back from overseas?
19. COVID-19 is 19.
After the, just before the bombing, was it?
Yeah.
Was it that the last time you didn't? Was just
no,
the
I was
bombing?
With him and coming together with COVID.
January 20, is it?
Yeah.
All right, just 20. Before the COVID.
Yeah, 19 finished.
Yeah. So it's been a really quite remarkable the last 2 years because you've been here all the time and Satipatthana has been really flourishing. So even though it's been a very difficult time in the world.
Can you give a few 5 sentences about yesterday meeting I briefed you?
You don't know.
I don't want to mention what you briefed me on yesterday, or else it'll sound like a white Westerner complaining about the stupidity of Sri Lankan government. But I would be reporting on what you had said. But what was very interesting? What's very interesting to me is there's a kind of a Sri Lankan way of doing business, and when you deal with the Sri Lankan government, anybody listening, you all know what that's like. It's kind of painful, but nevertheless, Mahathir goes and he's able to make take the mean advantage of the opportunity to set the agenda and move through action points so that things actually happen. So, you know, yesterday Mahathir had a meeting with the Minister for Education and also his, you know, all his cabinet or his head civil servants, administrators, yeah. So, you know, these are a bunch of guys that can really do nothing. If they want, mostly their default is to do nothing. But Mahathir is able to go in and, you know, use that whole situation, understand that the outcome is going to be nothing unless some action is taken, and he's able to take that action and carry things forward. And this has been in a micro example, it's been an example for how he has been for the last 2 or 3 years here, and why Satipasla has moved so rapidly ahead when absolutely everything else has floundered here. So, you know, going back to 2019, April, when we had the bombing, the whole country has been in a mess. And then after that, we had the coronavirus, complete mess. After that, we have the financial collapse, complete mess. But Satipasala is flourishing and flourishing and flourishing. So the more the ship is sinking, the more the Satipasala is rising up. And a lot of it is down to this skill of Mahathir to, you know, keep his eye on the ball, keep the goal of moving Satipasala ahead, and you know, the higher purpose, the higher value, knowing the value of the Dhamma as we do through our own direct experience, just like listening this morning to an 11-year-old. It wasn't like, I'm an older person listening to a younger person. It's co-investigators. We're both Dhamma practitioners in that time, and this 11-year-old's experience and excitement in finding the Dhamma is the same experience and excitement that I have in the Dhamma, and it's eternally fresh and it's eternally present and it's eternally now. And I see with Mahathir that he is propagating and has that ability to get other people to move Satipasala forward, and it has become a huge movement. And I think one of the statistics I heard this week was that 40% of students in
25% higher than 20%.
Okay, 25%. 25% is one quarter. So 1 in 4 primary students in Sri Lanka have been trained in Satipasala. So that's 1 million. To be able to teach 1 million students in the last 2 years is radical. Like, so when Mahathir is talking about Satipasala and teaching Sati and all of this to kids, you have to understand it's happening at scale here. And this is really our big breakthrough and a change. Like, I've been coming to Sri Lanka since the 1990s. And back then, it was very boutique to be in mindfulness and meditation. You were considered a bit of a fogey, an old-fashioned type, or some oddball if you were practicing meditation. It was for conservative people or old-fashioned people. And it wasn't cool at all. So to be hearing 11-year-olds are interested in sati is a wonderful thing. And here in Sri Lanka now, we have even younger. We have down to 5, 6 years of age. And it's a great benefit to the whole society. So I'm looking forward to decades of Satipasala as a movement going right across the whole education system here, from, you know, the whole program, 4.2 million children eventually getting
4.4 million
getting eventually trained in it, and also their teachers. So this is very radical. This is a major change in the culture and society of Sri Lanka. And it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. And, you know, it's been a blessing the last 2 years of having Mahathiro here full time and where he hasn't been distracted and going overseas. And I hope that the people overseas can appreciate the gift that, you know, you take it for granted that he shows up and he's there and he does a retreat and he's flying into Brisbane and Melbourne and Sydney and wherever. And he's just there and, oh, this is just another Taro and it's just another Sri Lankan guy and we'll go down and support the Sri Lankan cause. And, you know, it's sort of a Sinhalese nationalist event and we get together and then get back to our lives. But in reality, you know, Mahathiro has been very catalytic and a great change happening here on the island. And that that this is a really wonderful gift. You know, it's very easy to look and criticize Sri Lanka and say it's a poor place or something like that. But that's a very lacking the perspective of history, that Sri Lanka has been a very wealthy country for a very long time. And we continue to be wealthy here in Sri Lanka, with the, especially with the gift of the Dhamma. And no matter how much wealth you have, material gain, if you can't find that it is enough, and that if you have no mindfulness, then you'll be constantly just chasing your tail. And again, it's, for me, it's been a great privilege that in the last 3 years, we've been examining carefully the Sutta Nipada. And its major theme is on craving and views. So it's a very interesting collection of teachings by the Buddha, because in the other teachings, there's a lot of emphasis given to samatha or vipassana. So it's always presented like this. Is it, you know, the monk's rules or the monk's life versus the lay life, or the concentration versus vipassana? Whereas in the Sutta Nipada, these things are not discussed in detail, and instead the Buddha focuses on craving and views. And I think that this is more at the root of the problem. And that's why it's been, for me, a great privilege in the last 3 years to have had this kind of almost weekly opportunity to be with Mahathiro and go into this collection of the suttas that is almost never touched upon in other by other monks. And yeah, I never get the opportunity to discuss the Sutta Nipada with anybody. So I hope the people who have been listening to this can appreciate that this is actually, again, another quite rare opportunity to have a thorough investigation of the Sutta Nipada. And I have to say, we've been very blessed with having an excellent translation by Bhikkhu Bodhi. But also, I have to say, as an English reader of a very good translation by Bhikkhu Bodhi, it has been very much enhanced by Mahathiro's translation and conveyance of the Sinhalese perspective and also the cultural perspective, which is actually more broad than it is in English. In English, the translation comes out a little bit more tight or narrow, whereas when I hear it in from the Sri Lankan perspective and also from the monastic perspective, it is a much more open and broad perspective, and that's been very enriching to me. Anyway, that's just some thoughts on yesterday and the past 3 years.
Yeah, so it is a certificate, character certificate for Mahathiro. I'm sorry, you are not meant for that. You have so much of envious idea about the Mahathiro, but when you are talking, he's giving a character certificate. Is Hemant available in the discussion now, or Upeksha in the discussion? Gutta. Office meeting and Hemant are you picture in not here?
Avsarai Bante, I can't see.
Anyway, so the, if it is available, I can discuss a little bit of the way forward about this discussion, but I can do it in the emails. So we are not going to start a new sutta, and we are declaring that we have completed the Mahavyuha Sutta and Thuvataka Sutta. I hope that the next is Thuvataka. We are going to start, if I am come back without demise, Sri Lanka. Otherwise, I doubt whether the Buddha Rakhita Hamdro can continue each Tuesday. Will others give support?
I'm going to Malaysia.
Yeah. So therefore, we will not doing, and we are not going to start new sutta also. We have another 5 minutes or so, if someone is willing to contribute, willing to give their opinions before winding up the session. Any participant?
Oh, Sarai Bhante, I just think I mainly wanted to ask, so if you're going to, if Bhante here is going to go to Malaysia for a few weeks, and Bhante, you are going to go to New Zealand and Australia, correct? For, you know, a couple of months. So when would we perhaps be starting the discussion again?
I think Dhammarakkhita will give, because he is much versatile on that. Please give little detail about the itinerary.
Yeah, so.
No, I am going to Australia and New Zealand from 30th November to 28th January. I mean 29th. I was just studying it, because tomorrow I have to go there. Otherwise, he was completely deciding, and it was expressed and published.
So, I mean, I guess, Bhante, the discussion that, you know, the weekly discussion that we're having, that would start again once you come back.
That means when I become 71, February.
Okay.
February, oh. I become 20, completing the 71st year.
Hmm.
Be prepared with the birthday gifts and all the kind of things. It's reaching 72, finishing 71. I mean, Sri Lankan expression is that I am born in 1952, and 1923 means 71, and reaching, approaching 72, that I am completed 33 vasas. Still a bumpkin, is still an old crock. It's called Buddha Pabbajita. I say ordained in old age, but I am not married, therefore one mark I preserve. So we are going to stop, because I have sort of packing and other kind of thing. So thank you very much. Today we had a very good participation, and I hope we'll continue this warmth of our brotherhood of in practice. Wishing you all the best. I am going to take leave.